Thanks for joining with us at Homilies from Holy Cross. Holy Cross Catholic Church is a parish in Kernersville, North Carolina, within the Diocese of Charlotte. Our podcast is a daily way for us to hear the gospel proclaimed and the word preached. So we're going to dive in and see what God wants to speak to our hearts today.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John.
Glory to you, O Lord.
On the first day of the week, Mary of Magdala came to the tomb early in the morning, while it was still dark, and saw the stone removed from the tomb. So she ran and went to Simon Peter and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved and told them, "They have taken the Lord from the tomb, and we don't know where they put him." So Peter and the other disciple went out and came to the tomb. They both ran, but the other disciple ran faster than Peter and arrived at the tomb first. He bent down and saw the burial cloths there, but did not go in. When Simon Peter arrived after him, he went into the tomb and saw the burial cloths there, and the cloth that had covered his head, not with the burial cloths, but rolled up in a separate place. Then the other disciple also went in, the one who had arrived at the tomb first, and he saw and believed. For they did not yet understand the scripture that he had to rise from the dead. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
And so we are gathered in our homes this morning, many of us watching the Mass and participating in the Mass via live broadcast. I want to highlight three reactions to our Lord's resurrection, because there are three persons who go and can attest firsthand that our Lord has been raised from the dead. First of all is Mary Magdalene. She is the one who has loved our Lord, who anointed his feet with oil, bathed them with her tears, wiped them with her hair, because she knew that he must suffer and die. But notice what John wants to tell us about Mary of Magdala. She goes to the tomb early in the morning while it is still dark. She's at the tomb in the early dawn. It's a morning undertaking. She's up early and she goes to be with Christ, even though she thinks him dead. And she goes to the tomb to offer her prayers and to grieve. And as we know, as the sun rises in the morning, and as the sunlight grew brighter while she was at the tomb, she was the one who recognized the rising of the Son of God. So she runs off. She's afraid that someone has taken our Lord, and so she goes to the apostles. And I always love how John writes about himself here, the disciple whom Jesus loved, right, which is John, runs faster than Peter, right? A little historical jab at Peter for being a little slower. But notice how he stops at the edge of the tomb. The stone rolled away. He looks in, but he waits for Peter. That is because Christ has established, not the church, Christ has established that Peter be the first among the apostles, though he is equal to them. He's their leader, and the one who is given the charge to confirm the brethren in the faith. So they wait for Peter to enter and to declare what is seen there at the tomb. And what did Peter see? He sees the tomb empty. And this could mean many things. It could mean that there were grave robbers. It could have meant that the Romans, in order to keep the Jews from worshiping in that place or from drawing people, a cult following there, took the body of Christ? Could have even meant that some of the nefarious Jews of the Sanhedrin could have come and taken Christ away? But then comes John's account that they saw not only the burial cloths that were neatly folded, but also the veil that covered the face. If the grave had been robbed, or if someone had snuck in for some other purpose, they would not have unwrapped the body and then folded up the linens. They were linen cloths. And so they would have, with the myrrh that anointed his body, stuck to his skin. But instead they're folded neatly, a sign of the resurrection, a sign of God's order, when it seemed like death was a disorder. And he will overcome that. He has overcome that, and that is what we celebrate this morning, this day, each year, Easter, by which our own tombs we know will be empty at the end of time, because Christ will raise us, those of us who have died with him in a death like his. And then we see John. Peter is the first one in and sees the burial cloths, but then John follows him in. And when John follows him in, see, John already believes in the resurrection of the body. There is a debate amongst Jews, some that believed in the resurrection of the body and some who did not. Christ was from one of those streams of Judaism that believed in the resurrection. John shared in that. Peter, not so much. And so if we follow the next two verses that are not in this gospel, this is verses 1 to 9, but if we opened up our Bible and we looked at verses 10 and 11, what is their reaction? These three, well, Peter and John, it says, they went back to their home. And I can imagine that Peter goes back wondering, and John goes back believing. But verse 11 of John's gospel tells us that Mary Magdalene, she remained, and she stood without at the tomb weeping. She stood outside the tomb weeping. Whether she's wondering in the resurrection or whether she believes in the resurrection, her Lord is not there. But notice what her early morning pursuit, getting up early, going to her loved one, the one whom she loved, wanting to spend time even if she couldn't converse with him, it leads to her perseverance in good work. She will remain until she is commanded to go elsewhere. And the rest, as they say, is history. The rest is that the gardener comes and begins to console her, but really she recognizes later it is Christ. And he gives her a command, go. Go to Jerusalem, tell my disciples, tell my apostles that I am risen. My brothers and sisters, as we have woken up early for this Easter morning mass, really in a certain way at dawn. So each day of our life must begin with us rising from bed like we are rising with Christ, like we are rising with Mary Magdalene. And we begin our day seeking out the one whom we love in prayer, listening for his command, listening for his will, because as her early morning pursuit of dwelling with her loved one, dwelling with her master, wanting to see him face to face, and being unable to, it leads her to persevere in that work of seeking him for the rest of the day. Each day of our life must be modeled upon the day of the resurrection, must be modeled upon Easter. That is why for 40 days we turn from sin, we turn from gluttony, we turn from the things that we know are not good for us, and we seek to rise with him, of having our appetites, our desires, every faculty of our body, mind, and soul oriented towards being with Christ, in union with him. And in this Mass, may the Lord grant us the grace of a true and abiding spiritual communion as we unite our hearts to this sacrifice. To the whole parish community, I wish you and your families, although it is a modified Easter, a very happy, blessed, and peaceful Easter Sunday, Easter Octave, and may the whole season bring about a greater normalcy in our lives, but also an abiding peace and love, a communion with God that cannot be taken away. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.
In conclusion, let us go ahead and pray together the St. Michael prayer, as well as the intercessory prayer that the bishop sent to the priest to be prayed during the coronavirus outbreak. St. Michael the Archangel, defend us in battle, be our protection against the wickedness and snares of the devil. May God rebuke him, we humbly pray, and do thou, O Prince of the heavenly host, by the power of God, cast into hell Satan and all the evil spirits who prowl about the world, seeking the ruin of soul. Amen. Merciful Father, through the intercession of Blessed Mary, St. Roch, and St. Rosalie, deliver us from the current attack and subsequent suffering we are enduring from the coronavirus. May we seek to assist those in need in body or spirit, and ourselves turn away from sin and trust in you. We ask this in the name of the Divine Physician, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.